Come on. If I read my Bible correctly, it doesn't say that in the upper room they had a 10-piece orchestra and had a choir up there of angels that were singing, although they were probably singing in heaven at that time. They said that there was only 123 in the upper room at that time. Now, let me tell y'all something. Where two or three are gathered, there he will be in the midst.
In the midst.
Amen. And no matter, we're short a couple of musicians tonight. That's all right, though. Amen. Because you know what? I've known churches that are out there. I've preached at churches. I can actually say that I've been around long enough that I have preached at churches that would have looked at tonight and thought, wow, you guys have a lot of musicians. Man. And these are still people that will worship and praise the Lord with the best of them. Amen. Why? Because they have a zeal for God. They have come here for one purpose and one accord, and that is to worship and praise our God. And I think he deserves it right now. I want everybody to stand. Before we get started in the Word of God, I want everybody just to stand tonight. He has wanted to break forth. He's wanted praise. He'd wanted worship. We're just going to spend a season right now. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voices. Lift up his name. Clap your hands if you want. Whatever you feel comfortable with right now. But let's give him some praise and worship tonight. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I give honor to my pastor. Amen. Let's pray for him and his family tonight as they go down to Kentucky. Amen. Brother Perry, you'll be going down tomorrow, I assume, or tonight, or whenever. Amen. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for all of our visitors that are out. Those visitors that have come tonight, we're so thankful to have you. Amen. Let's just make yourself at home tonight. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. Amen. God is good and all the time. Amen. He has done so much for me and my family. And tonight we'll be making a decision probably pretty quickly as far as the ball field is concerned. Amen. I told Brother Taylor, I said, you know, I believe it was you, it was either you or Brother Turner. I said, you know, it would figure that it was going to rain. Amen. But you know what? Whether it does rain or not, I had to sort of take that back a little bit. Whether it does rain or whether it does not. Amen. I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, if we come in just for the little window snappings and the trimmings on the wall, sometimes we come in just for the icing on the cake. But we come in here to hear the Word of God. Amen. Because we need it in our lives. We need to be fed from His Word. Amen. Faith cometh from hearing. Amen. And I have come tonight to bring the Word to you. Amen. If you would all stand one more time tonight in reverence to God's Word. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 17, 3 and 11. This is a very, very, very familiar piece of scripture. And I'm just going to kind of play it low key tonight. Amen. I'm just glad to be here. And I am glad that you are here. But more than anything else, I'm glad that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen. And we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. How many think you can have fun in the Lord?
I sure do.
I'm not sure that all of you think that are into that way of thinking now. Come on. How many believe that you can really have fun in the Lord? Oh, it's just...
Come on, it's joy unspeakable.
It's just... Yeah, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah, you really sound like it. Come on now. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I believe that we have some people in the house tonight that are glad to be in this house, or you wouldn't be here. Amen. There are some people that have come into this place and they expect to see something miraculous. Amen. And I believe that he will, if we will allow him, amen, to do the miraculous and to be in the realms of the supernatural tonight. Chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out from the camp of the Philistines called Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That sounds like an awful lot of weight. And he had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. Amen. I like that word, target of brass. Amen. Even though it was made out of brass, it still made a good target. Amen. And was a staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why have ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And ye the servants of Saul, choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly, everybody say greatly, greatly afraid. Amen. Turn very quickly to 2 Timothy, another familiar piece of scripture, one verse. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Everybody say amen when you get there? Good. For God, everybody say, for God, hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We're going to say that one more time because there are half of you didn't believe a word that you said this tonight. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on. Hallelujah. When you cannot do anything else and fear cripples you to where you can't even think, God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I have given you power, and I've given you might, and I've given you love, and I've given you most of all a sound mind. Amen. So you're not confused at the things that the devil might throw at you. You don't have to be afraid anymore and be picked on like some sort of a person that gets picked on by a bully. But let me tell you something. If you have the power of God in your hand, my friend, then you've got everything that you need. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I want to preach for a little while tonight on conquering the bully. Conquering the bully. How many tonight have ever had to go through having a bully in your life? Come on. Come on. You ever have a bully in your life? You ever have a bully? You were the bully. Shame on you. This sermon's for you. Amen. Tell you something about bullies. I you know what? Amen. I can kind of believe that. But then again, you know, this is the thing I love about Brother Taylor. He has sort of a military way of getting to people. Sometimes he's one of the most loving guys you'd ever come across. He really cares about people, really cares about souls. But he's got that zeal in him that, you know, if you think that you look at him cross-eyed a little ways, and he may just grab you and say, "You need the Holy Ghost. You know what? You need the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I may just have to knock it in you." Amen. There you go. When you're baptized, you worry me if you're going to baptize somebody saying, "Well, we're going to hold you down until you get that Holy Ghost now." Oh, my. Conquering the bully. All of us have had bullies in our lives. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about this, and I had a bully when I was about 4 years old until about the age of about 8 or 9. And, you know, bullies come in all shapes and sizes. You know, some of them are girls. Amen. How many have ever had a bully? You were a guy and you had a bully and it was a girl. Oh, none of you going to admit it. Amen. Amen. My wife can tell you a little bit about that. She had a bully a couple boys one time because they were jumping all bad on her. Amen. But I remember a bully in particular. And you know, the thing about these childhood memories is they have a tendency of sticking with you. And they do mold you and shape you to a certain extent. And this guy was, you got to understand the kind of neighborhood that I was brought up in. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic neighborhood that in Detroit, you had, in the suburb that I was in, which was Southfield, this was a Irish Roman Catholic neighborhood. So, I mean, everybody was exactly the same. They all had the same number of people in their family, which was 5 and above. Amen. We had one family that had 14 kids. Amen. 14 kids. And I'll tell you, they were blessed. They were richly blessed. And this particular gentleman lived across the street from me. You know, there were kids that just had great bully names. You know, Bruce the Brute. This guy's name was Robert Black. And for a time there, believe it or not, folks, I thought this kid was the closest thing to the Antichrist that there was. Amen. I'm serious. This guy would come out of his way to go out and just make my life miserable because he thought it was funny. Amen. He thought it was funny. And I was this scrawny little kid. And you know, I would make him out. Well, I see it now. And I made him out to be a whole lot larger than what he really was. Amen. And isn't that the funny thing about us when we're afraid of something? Is sometimes we'll make things out a whole lot bigger than what they really are. But you know, that's a bully's key. You see, most bullies are not all that big and they're not all that tough, although some of them are. But a lot of them are cowards. Amen. If we read this Bible story tonight, it does not say how many men that Goliath killed. Nowhere in that scripture that I read did it give a rallied count of how many men he killed. It was all reputation. Amen. When we talk about Samson didn't have any of the armor that this guy had, but it talks about all the men he killed. Amen. But it doesn't say a whole lot about all the men he killed. I'm sure that he killed many, but the Bible just doesn't say it. Now, that does a lot with reputation. And Rob Black had a very bad reputation. And I don't know where he got it from. I don't know if he told me, "I got a bad reputation." You know, "Oh, yeah, you do? Ooh, I'm scared." And that's exactly what I did. See, and this guy just made my life miserable for years. You know, I literally would not go outside and play because he said, "If you step outside your porch, I'm going to beat you up." Now, I had visions in my mind. You know how your mind kind of gets carried away and you just don't know? Wow, that's a lot like Rob. Man, scaring me. You know how your mind sort of gets away from you and you're thinking, "Oh, man, this guy's going to kill me." you know, we here we are. We're 5 years old. He's 5 years old, too. He's going to kill me. My, he's going to tear my head off. My head is going to literally come off of my body. He's that tough. You know, he's got no teeth in the front here. He's that tough. He probably knocked him out himself. Well, he probably took a pair of pliers and just pulled him right out. He's that tough. You know, and all this time I had an older brother who was a very wise individual, because generally if it's family, they say, you know, well, I'll stick up for you and blah, blah, blah. Well, Bob was a whole lot older than I was, about 9 years. Now, it wouldn't have really been legal for him to beat up on a five-year-old, okay? So he couldn't do nothing. He said, Andy, if you had any gumption in you at all, you'd come up to that Rob Black and you'd pop him one right in the nose. He said, and he'd never pick on you again. I looked at him and said, that's easy for you to say. He's going to tear my head off. You know, that's easy for you to say. But here we are, and isn't that just like it with a bully? That he will try to use fear and intimidation, amen, to try and get the best of you. Amen. There's a lot of people out there that would say that, you know, the devil has been on my back. He hasn't given me any slack, and I just don't know. We'll walk into church, and we'll look so defeated. We'll have this defeatist look on our face, and we'll say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to praise tonight. I'm not going to be able to worship tonight. I'm not going to be able to do any of those things because I'm so drawn down. It's not that I don't want to, Brother Wober, but if I do, I just know the devil's going to come after me. I just don't want to aggravate nobody. Don't want no fights. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just get along? You cannot take that kind of attitude when it comes to Satan. Come on. Come on. We act so surprised sometimes when we see Satan coming down our hedgerow and we see something coming down real good in the church and we're starting to do this and do that, and then something happens and we think, oh, we upset the devil. We upset him, and now he's sent some boys over to rough us up a bit. When there are times, my friend, that the only thing we need to do is just say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know what? The devil isn't so bad, and he ain't so tough, because the person that has given us the power to fight over demons, hallelujah, and all principalities, that special someone that gave his life on Calvary, who is no wimp, mind you. Amen. Come on. Sometimes we have this recollection of Christ being this wimpy character. That's not the kind of Christ that I serve. I serve the kind of Christ that took the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders and had his side pierced and had his hands pierced. That doesn't sound like any kind of a wimp to me, but he has power to be able to put the devil to flight if we will just use it tonight and say, I will not be bullied. I will not be intimidated. I will not be shoved around by the likes of Satan or any of his minions. Come on. There are times tonight where we just have to get down and dirty and say, hey, we might not have a single musician in a church. We may not have the kind of talent that we need. But bless God, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to dance with all of my might. And you know what? It's going to make the devil mad, because I know that something good's going to come of it. You're not going to steal my blessing. You're not going to steal my victory. You're not going to steal those things that God has already appointed to me. You see, we all have those Rob Blacks in our lives. You're not going to step off that porch, Wober. You're not going to be able to play baseball. You're not going to be able to see your best friend, Jerry. You're not going to be able to see any of these folks, because if I see you out, I'm going to rip your head off. Rip it clean off. Oh, I better stay inside. Oh, I better stay inside. You know, it gets lonely inside. Come on. It gets lonely inside. How many have ever gotten to a point where you've been in the house of God and you felt the presence of God and you felt the peace that comes with being and worshiping and praising the Lord? But then you come home and somebody says, better not go to that church no more. amen, or this situation comes or that situation comes. I know many of us have lived with that. Amen. The very person that I deem is bringing a great number of our family to church, amen, was Tanya's grandmother. Amen. Who was a grandmother to Marion, your father. Willie Orbison, who was her grandfather, did not want this woman going to a Pentecostal church. First off, it was a black Pentecostal church. And back in those days, you didn't do that. Secondly, it was a Pentecostal church. Amen. And you didn't do that either. And she was guaranteed a beating when she got home. And she took it time and time and time again. Until finally, the Lord straightened it out for her by striking him down. Amen. There are times, well, the reason why I'm telling you this is there are times you may have to put your faith on the line. You're going to have to put your faith on the line, and you're going to have to say, am I going to serve him because it's convenient for me, or am I going to serve him because he is my God and I have no choice? Come on. There are times. You want, that's courage. Come on. That's facing up to your bullies. Hey, man, devil was having a time for a while. He's sitting there going, well, look at there. Look at that little lady trying to get to church. I'll throw this at her. But all it did was shape her and cement her resolution to the point where she taught her children about one God, apostolic, Jesus' name baptism. Amen. The truth, the way, and the light. And because of that, a great number of her family, up to, I think we counted one time, 35 people in her family got saved because that woman decided not to back down. I will not back down. I will not go quietly. I will not go, I'm not going to give up to the Lord just because it's convenient for me to not believe in this truth. That man would have let her go to any other church except that one. Come on, there are times where it's convenient to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth, but it doesn't make it any less the truth in your life. But if you'll stand up to it, my friend, then you can conquer that bully that's in your life. There are some of us that are living from crisis to crisis. We live that kind of mentality from crisis to crisis, and we don't think that anything is going to be any different than what it has been. Come on, oh, you know, you just don't understand my problems. You don't understand what things are going through. All these sound like nice things. But you know what? We can actually see the fears. Come on, they greet us every single day. When we wake up in the morning, it's the same old problem. When we wake up in the morning, there's not enough money in the bank account. When I wake up in the morning, I still got that sickness. When I wake up in the morning, I still have this situation in my family. See, we can see those things. But the scripture says that we are to believe the Lord by faith and not by sight. Now, it's hard for us to see God. Amen. But let me tell you something about seeing God. If you can see, exactly right. If you can see the works of God working, amen, then that ought to comfort you and cement your gumption to be able to say, you know what, if I've seen him do this and I've seen him do that, amen, we may, you know what, it's amazing that you can have as little musicians as we've had up here and we get spoiled. Come on. Hello. Come on, church folks. We get spoiled sometimes. Well, my favorite singer ain't up here. And, you know, we haven't got a drummer up here, so we're not keeping beat the way we ought to. And which, by the way, Brother Paul, amen, you're my hero tonight. Amen, because you know what? This boy pulled out a couple of songs, and when he first came up here, I'll admit to you, amen, I came up, I said, man, boy, I don't know. I don't know, but you know what? If you feel it, I'm there. Amen, I just don't know. Amen. What did the man come up to Jesus? He said, Lord, I believe. but help my unbelief. Amen. He's my hero tonight because you know what? He went ahead and he gone through. Amen. Was it the greatest that we had ever heard before without drums or anything? You know what? I believe in heaven tonight, there were some angels up there saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't back down. Don't back down. Because if you do, hallelujah, then the blessing can't come through. But if you keep on praising, if you keep on going, if you won't let the bully intimidate you, then I will bring a blessing into this place that they cannot contain. Conquering the bully. Don't let the bully get the better of you. Come on, it's your blessing. It's your night tonight. You came here for a purpose, to see something happen in the Lord. And it's up to you tonight whether you're going to let the bully intimidate you and say, well, it wasn't that kind of a service. It was a little different tonight. I just don't know about it. Or you're going to say, hey, it may be different. There may be things that I wouldn't get excited about right off the bat. But you know what? I feel this gumption that's welling up within me. Hey, what the Lord is looking for is somebody that'll pull themselves up by their bootstraps a little bit and say, hey, you don't need all the music. You don't need all the trappings. You don't need all the window dressing. All you need to do is stand to your feet and worship and praise me just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The same spirit that is here tonight is the same spirit that can heal cancer, that can deliver anyone from anything, hallelujah, that can send you out. Maybe you were sorrowful in your life. Maybe you didn't know where to go to, but you can have a joy unspeakable and full of glory by the time you leave here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands a little bit. Hallelujah. And give him praise to a God who'll never let you down. Don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated. Amen. Hallelujah. We stop. Everything is fine and wonderful in our life because that one crisis is over. And we make a promise to God saying, if this crisis comes over, then I'll be sure to trust you the next time. And it's in our human nature that we forget all about that when the pressure cooker starts. Come on. I'm here to tell you right now, if you aren't actively praying and seeking out the face of God in the good times, then my friend, when you do hit that pressure cooker, you're going to fold. Oh, come on. You're going to fold. Because that bully is going to come up to you. He's going to look three times bigger than what he did before. And I believe this with all of my heart. Every time Goliath would come up to the children of Israel every day, he looked a little bigger. He looked a little bit bigger. He looked a little bit meaner. He looked a little bit badder. That spear looked a little bit sharper. He had him. Goliath had their number. But in comes a little shepherd boy by the name of David. You know, I don't think it was because David was not fearful or afraid. Come on. It wasn't that he, you know, had this big he-man chest coming out saying, ah, yeah, you can't touch this. Hey, man, I got that shirt not too long ago. It says, welcome to the gun show. It's got them two guns loaded at my biceps. Amen. Right now, they're pea shooters. That's all right. Amen. I'm working on them. They were slingshots at one time. Now they're pea shooters. I'm working on a 22, but that's all right. 357s. It wasn't all that. What it was is that he had seen God take him out of things in his life before. He had said, you know, if we have God, no matter, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be me, it could be anyone. But somebody needs to stand up against this uncircumcised Philistine, this person that defies the armies of God. Amen. We don't need to be bullied around, church. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people out there in the world, amen, that don't understand us, will never understand us, will never understand our ways. Why can't we just get along? Why can't we just be like everybody else? That's because God has called us out, and we're not like everybody else because we love something bigger and better than this world can give. So what do? They try and intimidate you. You're going to be like us. Amen. You're weird. There's something wrong with you. Amen. And so many of our children that have gone to the public school systems, amen, they know what we're talking about. Amen. They know the kind of really mean, nasty things that a kid can say to one another. Amen. They have lasting effects. So how do you combat something like that? Amen. You lean upon the Lord. You do what David said. You know what? It does not matter. Amen. Who goes out there, but somebody needs to go out there. And somebody needs, oh, David, you don't know what in the world you're talking about. You are nothing but a scrawny little boy. Amen. You're just this kid with big dreams. You're a dreamer. Why don't you go on back out to the backside of a desert? Amen. And tend the sheep some more. He said, no. He said, no. You know what? If none of you have the zeal to go out and trust God at his word, then I'm going to go out. Then I'm going to go out. Never once in that scripture will you ever hear David ever refer to this man as a giant. He never refers to him as anything but what he is. He is an uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of God. Amen. When somebody comes against you, you need to say this: greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, if the armies of God would just get a little bit of gumption, and the church would really understand that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. If we ever get that into our minds, my friend, hey, troubles will come, troubles will go, the tragedies will come, tragedies will go, but the church will still stand. You know what? You know what? I've seen a lot of churches that have failed, but the only reason why they failed is because they stopped believing that God could do what he said he could do. Well, bro, you don't understand. There were churches out there that had broken up because of sin that happened in the church. Well, you know what? You're looking at a man. You're not looking at a God. You want to know the kind of churches that go through problems and they travail and they are able to go through them? When they start looking above instead of looking in front of them, pointing at their neighbor. Let me tell y'all something, and this may hit home with some of you. I told this to a member of my family. You cannot blame a person for backsliding. Well, if I would have had this person or that person counseling me, if I wouldn't have had this person or that person, if I'd have had a pastor like this. Hey, friend, when you make the decision to backslide, and you hear me, because I'm talking to someone tonight. If you make the decision to backslide, my friend, it is because of you. Because you made that decision. It is no one else's fault but your own. Amen. There are a lot of bullies out there and a lot of jerks that would like to say this and say that. I'm sorry, but there are. There's a lot of hypocrites in this church. There's a lot of things that come into the world in this church, amen, that kind of seep in because the devil would like nothing more than to close the doors of this church. But let me tell you something about the power of the devil. The devil doesn't have the kind of power that God has. Amen. He can't be at one or two places at the same time. That's the first misconception. We think the devil is everywhere. No, he is not. And let me tell you something else that he does not have. He has a lot of deception. He has a lot of lies. He has a lot of bullying tactics. But let me tell you what he does not have. He does not have peace. He does not have joy. He does not have strength. He does not have power. He does not have healing. He does not have deliverance. He doesn't have salvation. He doesn't have any of those things. David had 5 smooth stones. That's all he needed. Hear me tonight. God has not placed it inside of you to fear those things that have come against you. Some of those things that are coming against you are sharpening you as you speak. You know, it amazes me that even we as ministers, amen, and we preach about this, and you know what? I'm preaching to myself tonight. I'll give you a perfect example. If I'd have had real belief, amen, I'd have said, get her up. Get her up, Paul. Let's do it. Hey, I think it's going to be fantastic. I wouldn't have even questioned. But you know what? That's being human. And all of us fall into that category tonight. It wasn't that David had this kind of faith I call it almost a silly faith. It was the fact that he had seen this happen before and he knew what to do and what was right. And that's what made that story as special as what it is. That's why God honored him and he was able to kill that giant. I don't know what's in your life tonight. Rob Black finally got what was coming to him when I couldn't take it anymore. And I finally met him on his ground. And I took care of it. And that's all I got to say about that. I took care of it. But you know what? You know the part I didn't know? Part I didn't know is that he had an alcoholic father and that he was getting picked on at his house. I didn't know that part. By somebody that supposedly loved him. You know, there's a side to every story. And I pray sometimes. I got to know him in high school. And I pray that somehow, some way, that God reaches him with this truth. Because I know there's a lot of pain there. There's a lot of hurt. But the great thing about God is this. It'd be one thing. God could bully us tonight. You know that God could bully us? God's a big enough God, and he's got the power to back it up. He could bully us tonight, but he doesn't. Because he loves us. Because he wants us to press on. You know, there are times where we think that God is a million miles away, and we say, God, why can't you take me out of this situation? Why can't you take me out of this thing that I'm going through? You know, he never said, he said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. For I've come to overcome the world. I'm going to conclude tonight. There was a quote that I owe to my daughter. I was getting this. And she saw my notes and she knew what I was going to preach on tonight. She said, Dad, I've got a quote that I learned in school. You might want to use it. It's by a lady by the name of Eleanor Roosevelt. She once said, you gain strength and courage and wisdom when you really look fear in the face. You are then able to say, I've been through this horror, and I can take the next one that comes along. I don't know what you're going through tonight. And I know that all of us are ordinary people with ordinary problems. Probably something that made an impression on my life, and I've always kept it, and it's suitable for Memorial Day coming up. I had the privilege not too long ago to be in a color guard in Tennessee, and it was a celebration of some World War II veterans and that were in the 19th Infantry, and they had this big to-do at Stones River, and they bust him in by coach, and we had some generals there. We had a two-star general, bunch of colonels, retired. But probably the one that impressed me more than any of them was a guy who was a Medal of Honor recipient. And he actually had the Medal of Honor on him at the time. He was wearing it. And I don't know if you understand what that means. A Medal of Honor recipient has more prestige than the President of the United States. If both are in a receiving line, the Medal of Honor recipient goes first before the President does. It is an act of bravery that is beyond normal human power. It is beyond the call of duty, much more beyond the call of duty. In fact is, they get very offended if you say they are Medal of Honor winners, because most of them are not winners at all. They wouldn't have chosen to be in the situations that they were in. They're recipients. They earned it. And this man impressed me because he wasn't Rambo. He wasn't a guy that had, you know, machine guns strapped on both sides and just went out and guns a-blazing. He was an ordinary guy. I believe the guy came from Iowa. He was an ordinary guy. And just kind of a tall, slender gentleman, older now because he was a World War II vet. And he had fought in the Battle of the Bulge, which made me think of Brother Goebel and some of the things that he testified and had gone through. And he said, you know, I know that some of you come here and you celebrate Memorial Day, and you celebrate and remember those that have fallen. And I know that some of you call me a hero. He says, but there's nothing different about me than any of you that are out there. I was an ordinary man who was placed in extraordinary situations, and I did what I had to do. That particular gentleman saved 16 of his troop or regiment or platoon, whatever they call that. And I didn't get into the details, didn't have to. Because he said, all I did was what I had to do. You see, God's not calling us not to be afraid. We're going to have fear. But he is calling us to do the right thing. He is calling us to be the kind of Christians that will not back down, that will not fold at the first time of trouble, and that will trust enough in him that when the trials do come, and they will, I will not. I will not be intimidated by the bully.
That's right.
Amen. Let's all stand tonight. You know, many of us just need to know that there are folks out there that have gone through this. That have experienced this. And that have gone through. If you're going through that tonight, I challenge you. Don't let circumstances, don't let your own emotions dictate whether you are going to receive a blessing from God tonight. or not. You have come into this place for one thing. And I hope it wasn't out of habit. But I really hope that it was because you expected to receive something. Amen. This altar is open. If you feel that fear and anxiety, maybe that loneliness, why don't you come right now? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but I will have come to overcome the world. He may not take you out tonight, but he will go through with you. He gave us power. He gave us love. He gave us a sound mind. He did not give us the spirit of fear. Amen. With every eye closed right now, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. If Satan keeps you in your seat tonight, then he has won. Regardless whether you may not be in a backslidden situation. You may not be anything near that. Maybe God's been dealing with you about some issues. Maybe he has been dealing with you about something that he wants you to do. And maybe you haven't done those things because you're afraid of what might happen if you do. The consequences that you might have to face. And we live in a day and an age where sometimes some of us don't even know where the next meal is coming. $3 and something odd cents a gallon of gas. We have to start deciding on whether we're going to eat here and get gas or eat here and not get gas. I've been there, folks. And I believe that's what is clouding a lot of people's mind that are in the church right now. Hear me. It is clouding their minds because they can't believe, they cannot see physically how God is going to get victory out of this situation. How is God going to do this? I've done the checkbook. I've added up the numbers. I know how it's going to come out. But do we not believe in a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Do we not believe in a God that was able to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? Do we not believe in a God who can heal, who can deliver? We've seen him do it with others. Are we saying that he can't do it through us? Don't let that fear drive you to a place where you cannot believe. And if you have that twinge of unbelief, that's all right. Because the man that had that son with the spirit inside of him said, you know what? I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. He was being honest, folks. There are times where I have had to come up to God and say, God, I know you can do this. I know that you can supply my hallelujah, need. I know that you can take me out of any situation. Hallelujah. But help my unbelief, Lord, because there's still that twinge that's inside there.
Amen.
And I can't seem to get it out. God understands that within
us
right now.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Would you come right now? Saints of God, if you feel led right now, I want you to go to somebody right now that you feel in your heart has been struggling. Amen. Would you do that right now? Amen. Would you do that right now? Would you step out in faith? Well, I just don't feel like it, bro. I might get embarrassed. I just don't know if it's going to be that kind of a service. Hey, my friend, the Spirit of the Lord only stops because you have put the brakes on it. God can bless in this place right now. I feel it.